Having Jesus in our boat is not enough. We need him in our hearts. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. In the candid conversation with his disciples just hours before the crucifixion, Christ gave a master class on living in the new era that was about to dawn. His instructions seemed to center around a new relationship with the Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of God. The days of external religion were over. From now on, the lovers of God would live inside out. Here's Jim.
Would you open your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Look with me, please, at verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Remember, in these verses, Jesus is sitting with his disciples in the upper room. At the close of this chapter, he and his disciples will leave the upper room and head over toward the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be arrested, tried, and the next day he will be executed on the cross. He says to his disciples in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Chapter 15, scroll down to verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16 and verse 7. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." In those verses, the Lord Jesus Christ announced a paradigm shift. He announced the beginning of a new dispensation. He guaranteed the disciples an effective means for them to live well in the midst of a hostile world. We want to look at that this morning. The message is entitled, "My Heart, His Home." All of you have suspected sometime in your life that Christianity must be more than joining a church, being baptized, going to Sunday morning services, or even walking an aisle. All of you have sensed, and all of us have seen, folks who have sincerely done those things, and yet their lives remain unchanged. Greatest danger to the Christian faith is an outward performance without an inward power. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come into the world to set up a religion. He came into the world to transform the world one heart at a time. During the 3.5 years of his public ministry, he preached, he broke the bread, he walked on water, he gave testimony after testimony as to who he was, God in flesh. He gathered 12 to be his special ambassadors. With them, he shared his inmost thoughts. In the closing night of his last meeting with them before the cross, he realizes and he tries to communicate to them that having him as a friend, having Jesus in the same boat with you physically, having the Lord Jesus sit at the table with you physically, will not accomplish what Jesus Christ came into the world to do. That there had to be a whole different operation, a whole different way for the disciples to experience his love and his life and his transforming power. So he gathered them in the upper room, and in John 13 through 17, he first spoke words to them to take from them their fear about his death. And in doing that, he prepared them well to die. And then he spoke to them about changes that they were going to experience because he was leaving them. One of the changes was that they would now face the adversary without him standing between them and their foe. He was going to leave them. And he knew that the adversary would swoop in upon them and press them and, if possible, destroy them. He also knew that they needed a different kind of helper. Not one of a different kind than Jesus, but one who would minister to them in a different way. And so he taught them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. You'll see it there in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 16. Jesus says that the gift that the Father would give would be the Holy Spirit. "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." The Holy Spirit cannot be purchased. He cannot be bargained. He cannot be earned. He is a gift. He is given by the Father because of the petition and because of the death, burial, and resurrection of God the Son. As a gift, he must be received. His reception is not guaranteed. It is not automatic. It is something that I must personally respond to. We are very fortunate that his coming accompanies our act of faith in Jesus Christ. But when Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples, the beginning of that ministry is still future. It had not yet been initiated and wouldn't be initiated until after Jesus Christ had gone back to the Father in heaven. You have your Bible there. Look at chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken earlier during his ministry with the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit and about the transforming way he would change their lives. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." The verse tells us that the Spirit of God coming into the life of the individual believer would not take place until after Jesus had finished his crucifixion, his resurrection, and had gone back to the Father and was glorified. But the promise here is that if you will recognize your thirst and receive Jesus Christ by believing in him, then in receiving him, he, like a drink of water, would refresh you, and then the Spirit of God would take up residence inside, and from within, out of the heart, he would produce rivers of living water. Of course, suggesting that the needs that we face and the thirsts that we face would be dealt with. They would be satisfied, and there would be an abundance in the ministry of the Spirit of God's life through us in order to flow out and to touch others who also are thirsty and draw them to Jesus. "I have come," he said later, "to give you life, and that you might have that life more abundantly." That life would be administered to the believers, to the disciples, through the Holy Spirit coming to live within the believers themselves. And that's what Jesus promises them here in John 14 and verse 16. "He," the Spirit, the other helper, "he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." In these verses, the Lord Jesus promises that he himself will visit his life, his love, his power to the disciples individually by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He will dwell in you, and he will abide in you forever. Unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his physical body needed to go to the cross, resurrection, and back to the Father, the Holy Spirit, having no physical body, would take up his residence in the life of the believer, making a connection with the believer, dwelling in the heart of the believer. As Jesus went on to say in the verses that follow, In the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart, the Father and the Son would likewise abide in the believer's heart, making their home there. This experience is so powerful and so incredible that many believers who know Jesus Christ as Savior, when they discover this truth and begin to believe it and to begin to act upon it, it is such a revolutionary experience for them that they call it a second blessing or some other term. It revolutionizes the believer's conduct because God Himself resources that believer from the inside out. Now, notice there's nothing to fear in receiving this experience, in appropriating this promise, in taking this gift. There's nothing to fear, first of all, because the Holy Spirit is just like the Lord Jesus. He will not embarrass you. He will not cause you to do weird things. He will be gracious. He will be kind. But he will have an agenda. He will not take up residence within you only to titillate or even to tempt you and then leave you frustrated. His coming into your heart and life will be permanent forever. He will reside in you. And you'll notice he's called another comforter. That means that he's there to help. He is there to assist, to encourage, to empower, to take the things of God and to make them real to our intellect, desirable to our heart, and then make them real in our lives. So that living the Christian life is not walking according to a set of external standards, but rather it's responding to an internal, holy helper. One who has the standards mastered, one who knows the expectation, one who is himself the fullness of life and grace and peace and truth. And he then, dwelling within, is there to replicate, to produce in your life and my life, the very likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice he's called the Spirit of truth. When you see the word truth, think reality, think wholesomeness, think good. That's what truth is. Truth is the thing that lines itself up and conforms to the will and to the character of God. So the one who comes as the gift from the Father comes to be our helper. He is just like Jesus Christ. He comes to help us by making it possible for us to actually change and become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He comes into our bodies, into our lives, to make us authentic, real, to conform us to reality, to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes up residence in us and never leaves. Now, he is also called the Holy Spirit. That's his agenda. His agenda is to replicate or reproduce in me and in you the very character of God so that we think as God would think and we decide as God would decide. And the Spirit of God energizes us then to behave as God would behave. Jesus had earlier said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. The Father dwells in me and I dwell in the Father." And that model is now replicated or duplicated in the life of every believer. Every believer, at the moment of their salvation, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell inside them. And he comes to dwell inside the believer in order to produce holiness, to make us like Jesus. Why was this necessary? Why is it necessary for you and me? There are several answers, I believe, to that question in the experience of the very disciples who first heard this promise. In John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that as he gathered his disciples in the upper room, he knew that one of the disciples was in very serious danger. Chapter 13, look at verse 3. And during supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, Jesus knew that. He knew that looking into the faces of those 12 disciples, he knew that one of the 12 had made terms with the enemy. That's why he said in verse 10, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you all are clean, but not all of you," for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, Jesus said, "You are not all clean." Now, weigh that for a moment. Judas had performed miracles. He had preached. He had taught. He had heard Jesus. He had been with Jesus. No one will ever have a more perfect teacher, model, example than Judas had.
The disciples had heard teaching about the Holy Spirit. Some of them had witnessed the dove alighting on Jesus at his baptism. They had cooperated with the Spirit when they went out in pairs to minister. But being indwelt by the Spirit, that was new. In this edition of Right Start, we've taken our first peek into Jim's sermon, My Heart, His Home, Part 1. You can have the message on CD for a gift of $7 or more. The series will be 11 sermons available as a CD album for your offering of $38 or more. It's called How to Live Effectively, Volume 1. And right now is the brief moment when we thank our sponsors, possibly including you. We hope you realize there's a direct connection between your gift and the words of grace and truth coming out of speakers and earbuds all over. If you'd like to be a part of the Right Start team, just write us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website, please, rightstartradio.org. When you give us a look, you'll find audio resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. You can listen to the radio shows, or we can shoot new ones to you if you'll subscribe to the Right Start podcast on iTunes. The unedited sermons are available, and there's a way to give online. If you do give or correspond with us, you won't be spammed. You'll just be appreciated. See you at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. The Holy Ghost, as the King James translators called him, may not be as spooky as we've thought. Jim will have more on My Heart, His Home tomorrow. Please join us for Friday's Right Start.